She comes to us as a woman of all the ages, and her name is New Jerusalem. She is the holy city of God. And through her, something will happen which will change the world. When the moon is under her feet, it means that she has given up mortality. She has given up all worldly conditions. She is a symbol of each of us. And she is placed in this book by the Christ which is teaching each of us, so that we will look at her and say, what she does, I must do. She has a crown of 12 stars on her head. She has access to the tree of life. She is the inauguration of the link between God and man. And that link is revelation. Through revelation, we learn what God is thinking and doing. And no man can change it. No man can gainsay it. It is the word from the mouth of the Father. And when this woman becomes your way of life, and you draw your inspiration from the 12, just as she is doing, then you are self-existent, and no mortal on the earth has the power to take away your freedom. Because you are sustained by all that God is. Now, she hasn't reached the goal yet. It's an act of courage, an act in which she's going to find much opposition. But this bold step is necessary for one to reach out for a new dimension, beyond the world, this is what mortality is searching for, a connection to God which justifies itself, which proves itself, which demonstrates itself. And revelation is more than a word. It's more than receiving the word. It's receiving the activity of God in consciousness. Let's see what opposition she encounters, because that's the opposition you will encounter. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Do you recognize it? You, being in birth, cried, travailing, paining to be delivered. It's quite an agony that we bump into when we strive to find the Father's house. There's all kinds of opposition. There's fear. There's doubt. There's ignorance. And all of these come at you at once. So now she will find the same thing. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. This is the opposition. And it's not a play. It's not a fiction. Having seven heads. Ten horns. Seven crowns upon his head. All sort of things that will dissuade her from her desire to give birth to revelation. Seven heads. Seven disguises. Each disguise to convince her that she's doing the wrong thing. And they're available at random and in unison. And each one she watches and looks at, and unless she is aware that all of the illusions of the world are used to dissuade her, she will find reason to leave what she is doing. There will even be officials criticizing her, saying she has no right to do this, and besides, she must be in tune with the devil. Some of the people she least suspects of being opposed will rise up if she receives any word or thought or idea that is different than theirs, or that in any way opposes what they stand for. She is traveling a very delicate journey. But she must bear the child. She must bring it into this world. Into mortality, she must bring the immortal child. Each of us will have this same experience. Each of us will have the opposition of the world. As Jesus said, the world will persecute you. That suggests a lot of ideas to me. One is, be still. We're not playing cops and robbers, but we're not going out and publicize openly the secret path. It's only to individuals who seek it, who strive as we do. We open the gates, divulge the secrets, and share. We don't go out proselyting. It just won't succeed. Let's get her home and let's see if we can't find out what she is trying to tell us. Her ten horns, that dragon, the red dragon, are all false powers. They will do wonderful things, but they will do it with matter that isn't there. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And they come down on the woman like devouring locusts. Cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. When we step out into the new, we threaten the lives of many people. Often those people are very close to us, and they're uncomfortable. They feel, why must we have one who walks a different path in our midst? And we are apt to say, well, I don't think it's right that I do that, so I won't. And we shut the door on our freedom. And we also shut the door on their freedom. If we have the courage of our convictions, we do one thing. But if we have the inner word, then you can't stop us. If you receive the inner word that what you're doing is godly, how can you stop? And that is the woman's predicament. The world says to her, why are you going in this pioneer path away from all the teachings of religions? Why don't you just get in line with the rest of us? And she says, because I don't intend to die like you do. I'm going to find a way out. And I've been told by this inner voice that this is the way. I've been told by God direct that I am moving into immortality. And I am leaving my old ways of mortality behind me. The world won't have it. You've got to be stopped. when the world finds out what it is, opposition is strong. All of these seven heads begin to bring forth the reasons why you cannot do this. Fear is put into your heart. And unless you are prepared to know that God is with you, unless you are established in the living presence of God as a fact, as a power, you won't have any opportunity to stand and face the waves of protest all around you, especially from loved ones. And so the father reaches into his bag of tricks and gives you invisible support. He brings forth the man-child. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. The rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God, to his throne. The Christ is born. The fears are quieted. The opposition is powerless as yet. And she is in quiet isolation with that life that she has brought forth, knowing that someday it will overtake the entire universe. It will live. It will rule. It will govern. Without any force, without any weapons, because it is the Prince of Peace. And it governs in an unusual way. It deprives man of his mortality so that he is unable to overtake, overrun, overpower that which has been born. And in turn, he is led to discover for himself that same quality within himself so that he can live in the light. Each one who brings this child into the flesh is making flesh divine. I hope this divine birth sings a song in you. It would be a song of the Lamb. It isn't a physical birth. It's the birth of an idea. An idea that grows in strength like a child as you nourish it. And you nourish it with complete adherence to every word that it utters. The child shall lead them, and it will speak to you in such a way that it won't be a child. It grows up quite quickly, but it comes to you first, perhaps in the hush of an evening, perhaps in the fields, perhaps one day when you're least aware that it will come. And it says, I am come. And that is the moment that you are touched by God. That is the moment you have waited for. Because from that day onward, no person on this earth will ever take away that voice from you. 1 second of that voice, and it is yours forever. Doesn't matter how many times and how long you wait between voices. When it touches you, it is yours forever, and you are on your way to the kingdom. And it is that which gives you the courage to overcome all opposition to anything you do. Because in the moment that you hear the Christ, I don't think anything can explain how it is that you feel. But the wonderment of it, the fact that something unearthly has entered your life, the fact that some contact with you has been made in such a way that all of your being is galvanized to that one point. The miracle is so vast that it makes other miracles imminent and possible. If God can speak to me so that I hear him and I know he's talking, well, anything can happen in my life. Anything at all. That's your attitude, and it's justified. But what will happen to me will not be in the nature of fulfilling my will. What will happen to me will be an expression of the will of the voice. And that voice is the voice of God. I may want to be another Florence Nightingale. That doesn't matter to the voice. It has plans for me. I may want to be a ditch digger. That still doesn't matter to the voice. It has plans for me. What I want is unimportant, because I am going into the kingdom of immortals. And there is only one ruler in the kingdom of immortals. Am I willing to put my faith and trust in his judgment His power, His love, His guidance. I think we may have learned that that's what we have to have. We have seen everything else except that. And nothing works. We're going to now be chased off the earth. There are people here who don't want us. So the woman gives birth, but departs from the earth. How can a woman with a child be supported? How can she live? How can the child have nourishment? The Father places two wings at our disposal. They're not ordinary wings, though. Omnipresence is a wonderful wing. God everywhere. That's already her protection. And omnipotence, the power over everything that walks the earth. She's nourished with those two wings. They are her protection. And you, if you are under the two wings of God, these are your protection. Wherever I go, God is. And you know the secret of that, because I am God. I am God. And wherever I go, God is. And I am God, and therefore my power is the only power. But I'm not thinking in terms of my power as a human being. I'm thinking of my transcendental power, my infinite power, by virtue of the fact that this Christ in me is one with God. These are your first two steps into the kingdom of total faith. And your total faith will be rewarded by the fact that it cannot be any other way. God has given you two wings, omnipotence and omnipresence. Now then, is the courage there to make the journey? Are you willing to die to mortality, to give birth to this child? Are you willing to go through the difficulties that are involved, the fear, the doubting? Or is it that you just don't know how to go about it? If you did know how to go about it, you would have the courage. You are now forced to defend your child. It's only uttered a few words. It's not strong enough to stand on its own. It must be protected. Well, the two wings seem to be enough protection. But still there are other influences that come into being. And let's see what they are. The woman fled into the wilderness. where she hath a place prepared for her of God, that they should feed her there 1,230 and 70. That adds up to 3.5 years, I think. But they're not years. At the time this was written, it expressed the feeling that we were in the 3.5 level, our 7 level development. That we had covered 3.5 years, and we had 3.5 years more to go. Each year, of course, is 1,000 or 1,000,000 or whatever you wish to call it. But 3.5 levels were covered and 3.5 to go. And it figures down to the middle of mortality is where we were, and the full scope of immortality is where we were going. 3.5 is about, you might say it's the man or the man of earth division, where man is the third to the fourth, and then he moves into the fifth, which is soul. And so we see that the woman is delegated from a certain level in mortality through immortality, and they're trying to tell you where you are, that's all, where you're located at the moment. We're in the third to the fourth, and when we pass out of the fourth, we'll be in soul or the fifth. I should think now that 2,000 years of brought us a little closer, and we're in the high level of the fourth. That's why this is the age of awakening. I'm often reminded of the signs that came to us that we overlooked. The disciples were very much aware of the fact that Jesus on earth had become to them more than a man. When you see a man entertaining other invisible beings, as he did Moses and Elisha, you don't say this man is a mortal or a normal man. And there were three of them, John and Andrew and, I don't know, Peter maybe. The three of them who saw Jesus approached by these two, and the three in conversation. And Moses had been dead such a long time, as we thought, about 1,600 years. Well, obviously he hadn't been dead, but he had survived his period on earth, and he made his transition, just as we are going to do, and Elisha with him, and they were all having a conversation. Well, I certainly would have the courage after that to think that what they have done I can do, and so I'd say that perhaps that's why John was so adept and so capable and so right to receive the revelation. At this point here, while you're reading about the woman who's bearing a child called Christ, called Revelation, John was going through something. And he was making a transition from mortality to immortality at the time. He was finding that he was an immortal being. And you can be sure that when he received the revelation, it already established that fact. And one immortal was making contact with another immortal, Christ Jesus to Christ John. That's why John was selected, because he had made this transition. And Moses before him, and many others, many of the prophets. Enoch. This other fellow who wrote the book, which was similar to the Bible, Jasher. They were men who had lived at a time when the things we are studying now had already been achieved. And just as they achieved them then, and a few left records, we are achieving them now. There was war in heaven. That was expected. And the angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. In other words, Revelation survived. Opposition was conquered. The connection between that which became living in the Spirit and that which was the Spirit was always there. It is very important that you know about it, and that you realize that if I and determined to live in the Spirit, I will find opposition. I don't doubt it. Joel, who preceded us, found a great deal of opposition in ways not expected. But it made no difference at all. When a person is completely certain, confident, determined, Spirit is his own protection. I realize that any of us can do the same, because if we have contact with the Spirit, it does exactly what it did for the woman. The two wings are there. You can't remove omnipresence. You can't remove omnipotence. And you need nothing else. If each of us decided today that my life in Spirit is all I'm going to do, if that were the will of the Father, That's all you would have to do. If the will of the Father comes through you and says, this is what you do, nothing can stop it. Those days are all over when we worried about people's opinions. Do you see that you cannot do anything but what the will of the Father says do? And that every protection you need is automatically connected to what you are doing? If it's money, if it's a home, if it's people to help you, or whatever is necessary is connected to the will of God. That's all you need to do, is follow that will. And certainly you must know that if you receive the voice of the Father within, then the will of God is established in you. There's no doubt about it. Even once. And it's so possible to receive it when you least expect it. In a crowd. In a room. Any time at all. It certainly never comes when you do expect it. But every time it comes to an individual, that is his moment to realize that from this time on, my life is guided by God. You won't see what's helping you. You may not even be aware of it. You may not feel it. But the moment you receive an impartation from the Father, there is nothing else to do but follow that lead. It will lead you through the fire. It will lead you through any casualty that you may think is impending, and it will not come nigh thee.